1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word again. We thank You, Lord God, that we have the freedom to read it and study it right now. Father, we pray that Your Spirit would be upon us. Lord, that You would teach us, that You would help us to give attention to Your Word and the things therein. Father, we pray that You would guide our time together, that You would have Your way with us, that You would warn us where we need to be warned, that You would teach us and instruct us. God, we pray You would open our eyes to false teaching and false prophets and false spirits, that we might see the truth and know that if we know the truth will set us free. And so, God, we pray this morning You would set people free by knowing the truth, hearing the truth, rejoicing in the truth, understanding the truth, and believing the truth. Oh God, be with us and work and have Your way with us this morning, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is not the first to warn the church about false prophets. Jesus, if you remember, warned His followers about false prophets. In Matthew 7, 15 through 16, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." And Jesus said again in Matthew 24 through 25, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand." Hear what Jesus says there. There will be false Christs and false prophets who will do great miracles, great signs and wonders that have people going, "Wow! Did you see what He did? Did you see that?" And they're false. They're false. Friend, we need a very dogmatic bone in our body as Christians that says, "I've read the book. I've read the book. I know the gospel. I know what the book says. I don't care what dreams or visions you give me. I don't care what miracles you perform. I don't care if you split open the roof and an angel from heaven comes down and gives me all these feelings that just make me want to be happy. If it's not in the book, it can go to hell." Amen? Amen. We'll deceive the elect. These false prophets will even deceive if that were possible. Friend, get ready. Get ready. Get ready for deception and great miracles and great signs and wonders that would, if possible, deceive even God's chosen ones. This is serious. This is serious. Paul warned the church in Acts 20, 29 through 30, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Peter, inspired by the Spirit, warned in 2 Peter 2:1, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." So what John is saying is very much in line with what Jesus taught, the apostles taught, He Himself being an apostle. We need to hear this warning about false prophets. Look there again at 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Friend, don't believe everything you see and hear. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Don't believe everything you see on TV. Don't believe everything you hear some slick preacher say. even though he might tack a Bible verse onto it like Satan did. Don't believe everything you hear and see. Be discerning. Be discerning. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. And notice Jesus said, they come in sheep's clothing. Friend, the most dangerous teaching to your soul is not those things that are obviously wrong. That's not the most dangerous thing to your soul. Those things that are most obviously wrong. The things that are most dangerous to your soul are those that come and look really good. Sheep's clothing. Quote the Bible. Use the Bible. Claim to be Christian. Even say some good things and some right things, as Sister Tara said. A broken clock gets it right twice, right, a day. I know a woman who was saved under the ministry of one of these false prophets. But she knows now, this is a false prophet. Friend, God will honor a needle of truth in a haystack of error. They come in sheep's clothing. And they make you feel real good. And they speak very eloquently. And they promise you great blessing. Oh, you need money? Oh, just trust God. He'll bless you with money. And they love money rather than God. And God said, you can't love money and God. You can't. And Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And so when you see these men and women with these extravagant lifestyles, with all their money and all their clothes, and they think that's a sign that God has blessed them. Oh, friend, that's not the way of Christ. That is not the way of Christ. Do not believe everything that you see and hear. There is a spiritual battle for your soul. Notice that in 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, beloved. John is warning because he loves these people. He loves his congregation. I am here to warn you because I love you. Beloved, those loved of God. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. We're called to test the spirits, friend. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is a spiritual battle, and we are called to test the spirits. Not just take everything in. Oh, yeah, that's good, that's great. According to the Bible, he used the Bible. He said, Jesus must be good. No, it's the wrong Jesus. Test the spirits. Know your Bible. Know your Bible. And if you can't read, we'll read the Bible to you. We will read the book to you. We'll teach you to read. If you can't read, know this book. Know the Scriptures. Friend, I hope that if you haven't read the Bible throughout every word, I pray you'll be committed to do that. Read the whole Bible. Know this book. Know doctrine. Friend, if you don't know doctrine, you will go to hell. Doctrine is teaching. And the Holy Spirit told Timothy, watch your life and doctrine, for in doing so, you will save both your own soul and those who hear you. Know the doctrine. Read good books. Listen to good preachers. Rely on the Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit to discern the truth. Pray as you read the Bible. Holy Spirit, teach me what is the truth here. Teach me as I listen to other teachers. Holy Spirit, help me discern what is right and wrong. Show me, lead me. You ought to be praying that right now. Holy Spirit, give me discernment even as Pastor Joseph preaches. Show me the truth. Beg the Spirit for help. Come to your pastor and elders to test the spirits. Friend, that's one of the reasons God has called me here to be your shepherd, is to guard you from wolves. I'm supposed to die for you. And when I see people coming after you to teach you false doctrine, I'm supposed to lay down my life to save you from false teaching. Come to your shepherds. Come to me. Come to Michael Osborne. Come to Michael Todd. Talk to us about what you're studying, and we can help you discern whether that is good or bad. Study church history. Study the history of the church. The church just didn't fall out of the air when you got born with your Bible and the Holy Spirit. God has worked through men and women for centuries who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And we have something to learn from them. And the Bible says to learn from these teachers. God has given the church teachers that we should learn from. In all these ways, we test the spirits. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Look again at this verse. Beloved, loved of God, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And as I contemplated preaching on this, I'm thinking, who are the most dangerous false prophets to lead Olney Baptist Church astray, to lead this community astray, to lead America astray? And they are the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel false prophets. The name it, claim it false prophets. The blab it, grab it false prophets. The word of faith false prophets. I believe those are the false prophets that are most dangerous to us as a congregation. And I'm going to name names today. And some of you are like, oh, naming names, that's just so unloving and uncharitable. No, it's actually biblical. I want you to know exactly who I'm talking about and exactly who you should listen to for the welfare of your soul. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, named names in 1 Timothy 1, 19 through 20. Some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. The Holy Spirit names names. I'm going to name names for you of these false prophets. Joel Osteen is a false prophet. T.D. Jakes is a false prophet. Benny Hinn is a false prophet. Creflo Dollar is a false prophet. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are false prophets. Joyce Meyer is a false prophet. Paula White is a false prophet. Joseph Prince is a false prophet. Wolves. Not just Christians who are a little off. Wolves who don't know Christ. Wolves in sheep's clothing who teach their people to love money more than God. And God is not happy about this. God is not happy about this. In my sermon, I leaned heavily on this book. Again, I commend it to you. Health, Wealth, and Happiness: Has the Prosperity Gospel Overshadowed the Gospel of Christ, by David Jones and Russell Woodbridge. These false prophets, many of them, teach a distorted view of God. Friend, they deny God. They deny the true God. They deny the triune God. T.D. Jakes teaches that God is one person who manifests Himself in three different forms: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a oneness Pentecostal teacher. Not all Pentecostalism is bad, but oneness Pentecostalism is a heresy. It is not even the same God we worship. It is not. You can go to T.D. Jakes' website of his church and read this on their statement of faith. There is one God, creator of all things, infinitely perfect and eternally existing in three manifestations: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did you hear that word, manifestation? That should be a buzzword for you from now on. He believes that God manifests Himself as Father, and sometimes manifests Himself as Son, and sometimes manifests Himself as Spirit. That is not God. That is not the triune God. That's a false God made up of his imagination. Creflo Dollar makes the same false claim, worships the same false God. God the Father, this is a quote from Dr. Dollar. God the Father, one God, three functions. God functioning as a Father, God functioning as a Son, God functioning as the Holy Ghost. I'm Creflo Dollar. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a father to my children. I'm a pastor to God's sheep. Same guy, other functions. You follow me? One God, other functions. Yes, I follow you, but that's not the true and living God of the Bible. That's not God. That's a false God. Dollar goes on and says, Jesus didn't come as God. He came as a man. And somebody said, well, Jesus came as God. Well, how many of you know the Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers? And yet in the book of Mark, we see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Y'all, please listen to me. Please listen to me. This ain't no heresy. I'm not some false prophet. Yes, you are. I'm just reading this out of the Bible. I'm just telling you, all these fantasy preachers have been preaching all this stuff for all these years, and we bought the package. No, Dr. Dollar, actually, Jesus did come as God. He denies that Jesus is God when He was incarnate. And Christians listen to this. Christians give money to this. Christians praise this. It's blasphemy. It is blasphemy. Jesus came as God, the Almighty One. Let me tell you, He is God. Don't demean my Jesus. Don't talk about my Jesus that way. Jesus is God. Friend, we have to understand the God of the Bible, that there is one God, and that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. One God, three persons, each person fully and distinctively God. Friend, if we can't even get that right, there's no hope. There's no hope. These false prophets teach that human words can create like God created. They believe human words are a force and have creative power. Joel Osteen says things like this: there is a miracle in your mouth. The father of the prosperity gospel, E.W. Keenan, said, what I confess, I possess. Creflo Dollar says, God uses words to create what He wants to exist. Christians have the same ability. No, they don't. No, they don't. Yes, God did. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God speaks and created the world. Jesus on the boat with the storm said, peace be still, and it was. But guess what? You're not God. I'm not God. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. No, Dr. Dollar, you cannot speak things into existence. God does that. So all this talk about speaking things into existence is a lie from Satan. You don't speak things into existence. Only God does that. Where do you ever see Jesus teaching that? Where do you ever see in the Gospels Jesus telling His disciples, you need to speak that bread into existence, brother? Where? Show me if you ever see Jesus teaching His disciples that nonsense. Show me where the Apostle Paul ever taught that in his epistles, to speak something into existence. Friend, you will not find it. It is a doctrine of demons. These false prophets teach an exalted view of humanity. Joel Osteen says, I've learned to expect people to want to help me. My attitude is, I am a child of the Most High God. My Father created the whole universe. He has crowned me with favor. Therefore, I can expect preferential treatment. I can expect people to go out of their way to help me. I can expect people to come and help me. Where is Christ? Where is deny yourself? Pick up your cross and follow me, who came not to be served, but to serve others. Where is Christ? Greg Gilbert, commenting on Osteen's very popular book, Your Best Life Now, says this: there is nothing Christian about this book. How many of you read that book and loved it? I hope none. But if so, that's why we're here. We're here to teach. We're here to help you have discernment. There's nothing Christian about this book. Yes, Osteen talks about God throughout, but it is not the God of the Bible he has in mind. Osteen's God is little more than a mechanism that gives the power of positive thinking. There's no cross, there's no sin, there's no redemption or salvation or eternity. Even Jesus himself is mentioned only two or three times in the book, and one of those is a punchline of a story about a little tree who has bad self-esteem until he figures out he's being turned into the cross on which Jesus is to be crucified. That story may have Jesus' name in it, but it's not a story about Jesus. It's like the rest of the book. It's a story about feeling good about yourself. These false teachers teach that you're little gods. You ever hear that? You're a little God. No, you're not. No, you're not. They'll go to places like Psalm 82:6, where it says, "You are God, sons of the Most High, all of you." They love to take the Bible out of context, just like Satan did when he tempted Jesus. These teachers use the Bible, but they take it out of context and use it for their own selfish, wicked, "I want your money" ends. What does Psalm 82 really teach? Well, God is bringing the hammer down on these people. He's not exalting them as some great little gods. He's bringing the hammer down on them for being wicked rulers. Read the whole psalm. God has taken His place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, He holds judgment. "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, 'You are God, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die.'" They like to leave that out. "You are a man who will die. You're not divine. You're a wicked judge, and you will die, and I'm judging you now." No, they twist the Scripture for their own means. Friends, we are made in God's image. The Bible teaches we are made in God's image, and we have value and dignity because that we are made in God's image. We are partakers of the divine nature, the Holy Spirit says through Peter. But we are not divine. We are not divine. We are the creature. God is the Creator. And we best not mix that up. Isaiah 45:5-6, God says, "I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun from the west, there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other." We are to be zealous for the glory of God when we hear this garbage about being a little God. No, sir! There's only one God and you're not Him. And I'm not Him. These false prophets teach an idolatrous focus on health and wealth. Idolatrous focus on health and wealth. They falsely teach that Jesus was rich. Dollar claims that Jesus was rich because the soldiers gambled over His expensive robe. He says, when you go to the Scriptures, there's no way you can conclude that Jesus was poor. Really, Dr. Dollar? My Jesus was born in a borrowed stable, laid in a borrowed manger, lived in a borrowed house, sailed across Galilee on a borrowed boat, got a borrowed donkey to ride in Jerusalem, and was buried in a borrowed tomb. His parents had to give the sacrifice for those who were poor would give a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Luke 9:58 says, Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich," oh, He was rich, "in the fellowship of the Trinity, for all eternity, enjoying the glory of God, the ruler of the world, He's rich. And yet for your sakes, He became poor." He became poor. He lived as a poor man on this earth, even giving Himself to die as a wicked criminal so that we might become rich. And that richness for us is not health and wealth, but the riches of being reconciled to the triune God, the riches of having all of our sins forgiven, the riches of being sons and daughters of God, the riches of having everything work for our good, even our poverty. I mean, in the context of this verse, Paul is writing about these Christians who, in their extreme poverty, are giving to help others. These teachers emphasize giving as a means to get more material blessing. Friend, just plant that seed. You have a problem in your life? Just Plant that seed, give that money, and God will multiply your blessings back. That is demonic. That's demonic. All this planting seed business. Gloria Copeland, give $10 and receive $1,000 back. Give $1,000 and receive $100,000. Oh yeah, she wants your money. That's why she says that. Because she loves money and not God. And she wants to take your money. And these people wickedly take people's money. They take widows' money. I had a man, a homeless man, who was sending his money to Poppy Popoff or something like that in California, thinking he was going to get a blessing. And he's sitting there homeless, and this man who says he's preaching Christ is stealing money from this man. So he can be rich and have his big jets and cars and clothes. Friend, hell will be hot for these teachers who use Jesus like a pimp to get money for themselves. Hell will be hot for these teachers if they don't repent. Paula White, God is not magnified when you're broke, busted, or disgusted. Dollars, Creflo Dollar, the Word of God is your highway to the world of wealth. If you take the seed of God's Word and put it in your heart, then wealth and riches will be in your house. Gloria Copeland, God knows where the money is and He knows how to get the money to you. Joyce Meyer, if you stay in your faith, you are going to get paid. I am now living in my reward. Friend, this is so different from the men, the preachers I commend to you, like Francis Chan, who goes on a mission trip to Africa and he sees the poverty and he comes back and he says, "Honey, let's sell our house and move into a trailer park because I can't bear the burden of me living in this nice house when those little children can't even eat." These teachers want to steal the money that they have in Africa for themselves. And they do. They've exported this garbage to Africa. Because these people over there are vulnerable. And they need money, they need food, they need clothes. And they say, "If you give me your money, you'll get blessed with more." Oh, friend, it is wicked. It is an abomination. These teachers say that we should not be sick. Kenneth Hagin said, "I believe it is the plan of God our Father that no believer should ever be sick." Friend, that's just not true. That's just not true under the curse where we live right now. Romans 8 teaches that the creation was subjected to futility and it will be set free from the bondage of decay and that we will get redeemed bodies that never get sick when Jesus comes back. So I, as your pastor, am never going to come to you on your sick bed and you never need to think that I think that you're sick because you're in sin or you don't have enough faith. But that's what these teachers teach. You're sick because you don't have enough faith. You're poor because you don't have enough faith. No. No, that's an abomination to God. These teachers have the wrong view of prayer. They have the wrong view of prayer. I heard Miles Monroe and Benny Hinn talking, and Miles Monroe said this: "God could do nothing on earth without a human giving Him access." What? God can do nothing on earth without a human being giving Him access. Friend, that is not the God that we worship. That is not the God of the Bible. God does not need our permission for anything. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases in heaven and on earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And we ought to shut our mouth in His presence and bow before Him in worship and not think we can come to Him in prayer and tell Him what He can and cannot do. No. That is not the God of the Bible. And these false prophets teach an unbiblical view of salvation. Oh, you'll hear them say, "Come to Christ, believe in Christ." But it's not the Jesus of the Bible, and therefore it won't save. I've already told you what Creflo Dollar believes. Jesus did not come as God, and that's exactly what Kenneth Copeland says. Why didn't Jesus openly proclaim Himself as God during His 33 years on earth? He did. He did for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. For one single reason, Copeland says, He didn't come to earth as God. He came as man. He came both as God and as man. Friend, as you listen to these people, as you read their books, where is Christ? Where is the bloody cross? Where is the holiness and the justice and the judgment of God? Where is hell? Where is sin? Friend, without that, you don't have the gospel. Without Christ, without a bloody cross, without judgment, without sin, without hell. Where's the gospel? Where's the gospel? It's nowhere. It's nowhere. Jones and Woodbridge in this book write this: advocates of the prosperity gospel marginalize key components of the biblical gospel, such as Jesus, the cross, God's judgment, and the sinful estate of humanity. If Jesus is left out of the gospel, then there is no gospel. If the cross is left out of the gospel, then there is no gospel. If God's judgment against sin is left out of the gospel, then there is no gospel. If humanity's sin is left out of the gospel, then there is no gospel. And friend, we want to be a people and a church who always hold the gospel as central. The gospel of Jesus. Paul told the Corinthians, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Friend, do you know that God? Or have you been believing the false God of these false teachers? Do you know the true and living God? Have you ever been told that He is the Creator of the universe, that He spoke the world into existence, that He made us in His image to know Him and to love Him and to adore Him and to serve Him and to serve others? And that we've all failed to do that. We have broken our God's laws. We have sinned against this God. We have done what we wanted, the way we wanted, when we wanted it. We have lusted. We have fornicated. We have had sex outside of marriage. We've killed our own children by abortion. We've not loved God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We have given ourselves to addictions, alcohol, and drugs. We have loved ourselves more than God. We've loved money more than God. We've loved these material blessings more than God. And we deserve God's wrath because He is a good God. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God who cannot look upon sin and will punish every sin and sinner in hell forever. And He's a loving God. He's a loving and a merciful and a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, who relents from doing harm. And He loved us rebellious, wicked sinners so much that He made a way to redeem us. And so He sent His Son, who is God and man. And Jesus came to the world and obeyed God perfectly. Did the requirement of the law, love His fellow brothers and sisters perfectly and love His Father perfectly. And then died on that bloody cross where He suffered the wrath and the curse and the judgment of God was poured out on Him. He suffered, died, and was buried. And then 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead. And now if you believe in Him, if you trust in Him, if you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, you will be saved. You'll be forgiven. All your sins cast behind His back and remembered no more if you simply trust in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And He'll fill you with His Spirit. Not so that you can get a bunch of stuff, but so like the rich young ruler, you'll give it all away, which he didn't do because he loved money, and follow Christ and serve other people. Friend, God is our treasure, not the stuff that He gives us. God is the treasure. God is the gospel. Jesus is the treasure, not stuff. And you have Jesus as your treasure. That frees you to give it away and serve and love and care for people. Please, turn from these false prophets. Turn from listening to them. Turn from reading their books. Warn people about them. Friend, if you're here from another church and your pastor quotes these men as if they're good, I would strongly encourage you to find another church. Jesus is the greatest prophet of all. And more than a prophet, He stands tall. He's God and man who took our fall. He died and rose to save us all. He's truth. From Him do not withdraw. Believe and trust His Spirit's call. For He's our God. Our Christ is all. Friend, if you're here this morning and you never trusted Him, believe on Him. Look to Christ. Trust in Christ. He will save you. I'll be at the back afterwards if you want to speak to me about that. Come have lunch with us if you want to talk more about that. If this is just a shock to you and you can't believe I said these things about these people you thought were so wonderful, come and speak with me. I'll gladly sit down and talk with you about this. But we want to follow Jesus. And we want to follow the true gospel. And we want to follow His Word and not these false prophets. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You've made these things clear to us in Your Word. Father, we pray for these false prophets that You would convict them of their sin and their gods of money, fame, and power, and comfort. Father, we pray that You would save them and grant them repentance. Father, if there's anyone here among us who's confused about this, we pray, God, that You would give them clarity, that they would talk to me or other leaders here, talk to Tara, God, that they might get clarity on this. We pray, oh God, that You would deliver many, oh Lord, so many people in America and all over the world are held captive by this false teaching. We pray, God, that You would deliver them and bring a revival of the true gospel that speaks of Your Son, that speaks of our sin, that speaks of Your holiness, that speaks of that bloody cross, that speaks of that hell that we deserve, and speaks of that glorious redemption in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Oh, Father, bring a great revival in our land of the true preaching of the gospel. And we pray for ourselves, Father, that the true preaching of the gospel would always happen in this pulpit until You come back. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.